Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It was that kind of day yesterday. Jaylen Waddle does nothing against everyone all year long.
Whew, he was cooking yesterday.
He is an afterthought.
Yeah.
In the Dolphins offense these days.
Which is crazy because they paid him. Like, he's one of those receivers that got that big second contract.
We talked about it late last week. We're like, could he potentially be available in the offseason because he's such an afterthought?
They made a point to say he doesn't say anything. Like, he doesn't complain. He hasn't complained once about the lack of targets and all that other stuff. And then yesterday he was gangbusters.
So, apparently part of that was the Patriots philosophy. I had a listener email me, Dolphins fan.
Oh, yeah, let Jaylen Waddle beat him.
Apparently the story in Miami this morning is that Patriots played all single high safety, and that's different than how other teams have defended the Dolphins, and that's why Waddle went off.
I mean, they did a decent job on Tyreek Hill.
They did.
You know, the week before, both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp did whatever they wanted. This week it was just Jaylen Waddle and Jonnu Smith. And Devon Achan, and everybody but Tyreek Hill. Because that was the one guy you're like, all right, I guess they kind of slowed him down. 5 for 48 for Tyreek Hill. You're like, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Hang on, though, Keith. We have some non-NFL breaking news.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Not sure if he got hacked, but Shams Charania, and it is him on Twitter. Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis plans to make his season debut tonight against the LA Clippers, sources tell ESPN. Porzingis returns 5 months after undergoing foot surgery.
How about that?
What a f*** is Tingus Tingus?
I mean, that is, talk about not even anywhere near on my, I assumed he wasn't back until
December.
January 2025.
I thought December was like
I thought
early.
Next year. Yeah, exactly. December would have been early.
Oh, next calendar year. I think like next season.
No, next calendar year.
Season. Yeah. Yeah, but because they said December, and you're like, well, I mean, there's no need to rush. But then again, if they feel like he's ready, you also don't need to, there's no reason to just sit around and wait. You know, he had that weird transaction thing that we updated last week or the week before. Remember, he's like,
yeah, he's practicing with the Red Claws.
Even though they were here.
Whatever they are, yeah.
Yeah, so we got like a signed domain and then like recalled. You're like, what does he even, any of that mean? But it's like, he's doing stuff. And then people are sniffing around, you know, how much is he doing at practice? He's been with the team quite a bit, but holy smokes.
That is shocking news. Do you think...
I never heard of Latavia!
Do you think, Keith?
Yeah.
Or are you concerned at all they're rushing him?
Well, no, because there's zero reason to. So that would be my thought.
The reason would be, and you hear it after, you know, some of these games that they drop, that their interior defense is lacking. Yeah. And so, I mean, there is a reason. But
they only lost three games. You know what I mean? Like, they're off to a 14-3 start to the year. And I don't think his long-term health, you would put it
here's
at
the
risk.
Thing. The second that guy's cleared, you put him out there. Yeah. Because you can wait as long as you want.
He's gonna
get hurt
again.
He can get hurt at any point in time. Exactly.
He might get hurt
so,
Christmas.
That's just way earlier than I expected, but am I concerned
it's like out of
rushing
nowhere.
Him back? Not really, no.
Wouldn't you see, like, hey, he's going to be back in like a week or two? It's like, he's playing tonight. It's like, well, I'm sorry, what? Like, yeah, he's playing tonight.
He's back tonight.
He's playing tonight against the Clippers home game.
Okay, so that's breaking news. That was not on my radar here today. But again, yeah. Shams over at ESPN. Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis plans, maybe that word's doing a lot of work there,
Yeah.
But plans to make a season debut tonight against the Clippers. You can weigh in on that if you'd like. Plus all your Patriots thoughts.
I think I saw a terp do a cartwheel down the hallway.
779-7937. I was just, you know, where was Scoops Terp on that one? Where was Scoops Keefe on that one?
I fell asleep.
You got to.
I was not ready for that.
You got to branch out into the NBA, Keefe, one of these days. Let's knock out some phone calls. We'll get back into the Patriots, their loss yesterday, and just the ugly locker room scene after the game. Ugly because it's embarrassing. Apparently they were having a lot of fun in there after their loss. Plus Christian Gonzalez is going to join us later this hour on a Patriots Monday. Tony is in Bridgewater. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had low expectations of Mayo coming into the season, but I hope Kraft swallowed his pride to get another guy in here, because I'll tell you the truth. The only thing missing from Mayo was the fake mustache like Bobby Valentine had, because this guy sucks.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with much there.
No. Valentine, not that bad, though, with the Mets. He was horrible here. He was a joke here.
But Bobby Valentine...
when he was sneaking back in here with the little fake cookie duster... They were, weren't they, didn't he take him to a World Series?
I think he was the manager in the Subway Series, wasn't he? I believe.
Yeah.
So,
but, I mean, Bobby Valentine, or here, we view him as a joke.
Okay, but this is like that, Keith. This really is like that. Obviously, those Red Sox have much higher expectations, but this is like that.
No, you had referenced every Sunday Bill Simmons just goes nuts on Twitter about Mayo specifically, but this Patriots team. He had one from weeks ago, which I'm sure he stands by, comparing it to
Rick Pitino,
Joe Kerrigan, Rick Pitino at the end, and there was like one other one where
I think it might have been Valentine,
maybe Bobby V, but Joe Kerrigan was a classic one. That guy was a bum, but yeah, and I think if you see the signs of it, like obviously every coach, I assume, or manager is hired by the GM or owner with the intention that they're going to be good, but then as you know, games and weeks go by, and you're talking to them probably on a daily basis, you're like, oh crap. I made a mistake. So what's the bigger mistake?
Doubling down
and like ignoring it and hope it gets better, or like identifying it and be like, all right, we need to find somebody else to do this.
I mean, to me, it's not close. It's doubling down. I agree,
but you see it all the time, especially in these leagues where you're paying millions of dollars to coaches. Do you really want to pay them millions of dollars to not coach?
They were worse that year than I thought. I just double checked Valentine's record.
Oh, 2012?
Yep.
Oh,
any guesses?
How bad they were?
Yeah, it was way worse than I thought. I thought they were like 500-ish. It was way worse than
that. They win 60 games? 67 games?
69.
That was going to be my guess, but I would have thought everybody thought I was a pervert.
69-93. So I was about to say, Valentine didn't get fired for what happened on the field. It was more like all the off-field weirdness.
Which it was both.
It was both with him, but they were worse than I remembered that year. I didn't remember them being that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is like that. Mayo's not going to get fired just for winning three or four games. He's going to get fired for all of the weirdness off the field. So while we're on that, let me give you a couple of examples.
All right.
I personally think this is a leading question. Mayo had already said, it's about me, it's about the coaching staff, blah, blah, blah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he'd already said that.
Put it on me.
So he gets asked at the end of the press conference, and you'll hear the question. This is after the game yesterday. Well, okay, it's on you, but when does it start to be on the players? So it is a leading question. You hear it here, but it's still a wild answer.
George, you say it starts with you, but when do the players have to start looking at themselves? I mean, you can only do so much. What is it on the players?
I mean, look, it's always – look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
So that's – such an outrageous quote for him in this situation.
Yeah.
I think if you really whittle that thing down, and if a great coach who has a winning record, and, you know, like if Andy Reid's asked about it after like a Patrick Mahomes game, it reads so much differently. But like, hey, we do what we can, but it's all about the players, and you're giving credit to the players. It's one thing. But when you're basically saying, yeah, we had 10 penalties, but like, that's not on us. Like, we didn't coach him to like have these penalties. It's like, well, kind of that is all involved. Okay. It's all encompassing.
And especially when you didn't have them in a padded practice on Wednesday, you're talking about the prep and getting them ready. And you went light last week. Yeah. Literally, you didn't have the players in pads. You went light last week, and then they come out and look unprepared. You're not preparing them well. And even still, it's a wild answer. You're walked into it, and you still don't say, well, there's nothing I can do, which may be accurate.
No, but if
or any coach can do once they're out there between the white lines. Like, I kind of get what he's saying. That's still a wild thing to say about your players.
No,
of course,
it's
coaches
an easy one.
They can aid them during the game. What are you talking about?
No, it's such an easy one to get out of. You just say, well, we all need to be better. Super simple.
Leave it there.
Super easy.
Yeah, I already said it. I mean,
coach better,
I respect the question, but yeah, I need to do better. It starts with me.
Obviously.
Even if it feels hollow, it starts with me.
Yes. But yeah, that is kind of crazy because also it's wrong, right? I mean, there are guys on each side of the ball that call the plays. So if they're calling good plays, like the correct plays, or like reading the opposing defense or the opposing offense and sort of being one step ahead, like, do you think Mike McDaniel yesterday had anything to do once the players crossed the white lines? I feel like he coached him up pretty well.
And I was critical of him all week, but he had a good day. He coached circles around
Mayo. I mean, he did play the Patriots defense, so, like, you're going to look pretty good.
But that was a factor. His scheme, his play calling was a factor there. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ayo's was a factor as well. It was just a detraction.
But also, you know, all the coaching decisions, too, involve the players out there. Like, they're going to go along with it. We talk to Hunter Henry every week. He always just signs up for what the coaches do. But do you punt on fourth and short, or do you go for it on fourth and short? Like, all these different things are factors with what the coach can do when the players cross the white line. Like, it's such a dumb thing to say.
Let me give you another one that bothered me, and then you tell me if it helps inform the locker room scene after the game. This is this morning, before Greg's interview with Gerard Mayo. If you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy, take it with you wherever you go, including long trips this Thanksgiving and holiday season. You're going to want the Odyssey app on your phone when you're stuck in traffic. Going wherever, to grandma's on Thanksgiving. So here's what Mayo said this morning when asked about building a winning culture.
Has reestablishing a winning culture been more difficult than even you expected?
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish a culture, you know, in year one. It's a process. It's hard to change a culture, and we're trying to put those pieces together. I think it would be a disservice, you know, to get to the end of the year and not know exactly what we have from a player or coaching perspective, and that has to be our focus.
I never thought we'd be able to build a winning culture in year one.
What? I mean, all the stuff they said preseason.
Everything about him just screams that he wasn't ready, mm-hmm. wasn't prepared, which is wild because he knew a year in advance he was the guy. He might have known for multiple years he was the guy, and it's like he never even thought about it. Jerod Mayo got in writing in his contract he was going to take over for Bill, and he's like, all right, well, whatever. Whenever
cross that,
that
bridge when I get to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's crazy because he keeps saying, and he said it in interviews with Greg, he said it elsewhere.
Go ahead. Keep finished.
Well, as I say, it's like, I'll get to that in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking notes, and I'll deal with this in the offseason. It's like, you better hope you get a second year, and why aren't you trying to fix that now?
You feel like more wins next season than this past season? Like, is that?
I do feel that way.
Okay. So we got you on
you
record.
You got me on record.
Yeah. All right.
That we're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record? Right.
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, good. All right.
TBD, 3-9.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I feel 3-9. Still good time. About it after yesterday. Yeah.
Still got time to get there. And it's funny how we took the question and then actually kind of changed it and made it a little bit worse. So the question was, did you think you were going
to
like...
Did you find it difficult to establish a winning culture?
Winning culture. He takes winning out of it. Mayo does. And he just says culture. And like, we didn't think we were going to be able to change the culture in year one. It's like, you didn't?
That's why you guys talked about. That's why you were hired.
But that's all... He and Elliot Wolf... In the whole pre-draft process and then the preseason, that's all they talked about was the communication.
Point.
They would take these little jabs at Bill. And even though you and I were of the, it was time to move on from Belichick, we also thought, what's the point of jabbing Bill all the time? Like, you guys haven't even coached a game yet. And you're talking about how, it's a lot more communicative than it used to be. We're tearing down silos. Like, all it was we're changing the culture. Now he's saying, well, we weren't going to change the culture in year one. So when were you planning on doing it then?
Seriously. It's like that.
Talk to us to year three. We might have a new culture.
Way too comfortable for a guy who should be on the hot seat and maybe not back for year two. Yeah. Way too comfortable.
And it should be, I feel like an easier, as bad as the roster is, right? That's why I think the wins sort of a separate argument for this. But if you have a rookie quarterback who is good, and everybody likes, he seems to say the right things. He seems to be a great teammate. Isn't that like the easiest way? You guys went from Mac Jones to Drake May. Forget who's coaching him.
That should help your culture by itself. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just that alone, you should be kind of one step ahead. And now 12 weeks into the year, you're like, nah, I mean, and we're going to change the culture this year.
Well, it seems like.
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish.
I never thought it.
A culture.
I never thought that.
Never even crossed my mind.
I never thought that.
That's nuts.
How about their culture, though, Keith? The locker room after the game. This is embarrassing,
Yikes.
Is what this is.
Yeah.
Andrew Callahan was the first that I saw it. He tweeted last night, like an hour after the game. This was one of the lighter Patriots locker rooms after a bad loss I can remember. Not a happy locker room, but more players smiling and joking than normal. And to say it felt at least accepting of the blowout and their reality at 3-9. Okay, that's one
is
reporter.
Losing fun?
No.
What are you having fun for?
It's one reporter, his take, his opinion.
Yeah.
Mark Daniels, this morning, Mass Live.
Uh-huh.
He details Drake May, who's taking the loss pretty hard. He says around the corner, it was a different scene. With several players on offense, nice game they played.
Offense was good. They were locked in. They had 7 points on a miracle heave.
Several players on offense, smiling and laughing with one another. It was a strange scene for a team that was embarrassed by the Dolphins. Although not everyone was happy, several players were upset.
Okay.
The sounds of light laughter filled the side of the room where offensive players got dressed.
Light laughter.
Light laughter.
So they weren't like watching like a hilarious comedy. No. They were just a couple of jokes.
Like
here
a golf laughter. A
couple of one-liners
mixed in there.
So that's not bad. Because Jerod Mayo was asked about it this morning. He didn't think anybody was laughing. He said Verdarian Lowe is smiling because he smiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing.
Smiley guy. Love smiling.
Guy Smiley. Verdarian Lowe. He had a lot to smile about yesterday.
Yep.
And then Hunter Henry, we asked him about it, and he said, no, he didn't see it. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a big locker room, so maybe there are others out there.
Well, look, maybe all these beat writers are wrong, and the Patriots are right, and they're not lying. But I'll tell you, they have a reason to lie. Let me add Bedard as well. The reason to lie is because it's embarrassing and a joke,
it
looks terrible for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. The vibe in the Patriots post-game locker room was ... interesting.
Interesting.
I've been trying to come up with the right word for it, and I think I've settled on unbothered.
Okay.
I've been in
they're not beating themselves up over
loss. No.
All right.
I've been in a bunch of different NFL locker rooms over the years.
Brag.
Big time brag.
Yep.
Including several on the other side when the Dolphins weren't so hot post-Dan Marino. And in most, if you laid an egg like that, they trailed 31-0 at one point against the divisional opponent, especially one that entered with a 4-6 record. It's a good point. The Dolphins aren't even good. You'd pretty much expect everyone to be miserable, irritable, and not a whole lot of fun to talk to. Guys were affable, insightful. There were even smiles and some jokes.
Okay.
There was no tension in
the air.
That's
probably that Ben McAdoo.
Probably.
You know, he's hilarious.
He's a real cut-up.
Yep.
There was no tension in the air where you feel like you need to walk on eggshells. There was no whiff of players being pissed or embarrassed, which made the rank and file the complete opposite of fans at home and on social media who were venting hot and heavy after this one. It's true. Fans,
were
media,
steaming,
pissed.
Yep.
And the players in the locker room are laughing it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you feel about the outlook for the final five games of the season? Feels like it's just going to be like kind of checked out.
Well, let me tell you,
you know, there might be some good moments. There might, you know, but overall, like, they're kind of done.
Do you think the Colts, we both had it chalked up as a win 2 weeks ago. You think the Colts are a win?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't think they are. I mean, they could be. Like, both levels of talent are poor. So, yeah, I mean, any given Sunday type of thing. We saw some upsets this just yesterday. But no, I don't feel as strongly about that one. You know, if this team had, like, their head screwed on, even if it was the same level of talent or lack of talent, but they were just a little bit better coached, a little bit more disciplined. I mean, the Colts and the Cardinals, neither one are these wagons.
No.
But right now, I mean, I would take Colts or Cardinals in those games. They have the bye week in between. Think this team's gonna, every guy the team's going to be in Cancun that week. So you're not going to see those guys.
They have a foot out the door to the bye week. Mayo even referenced it last night in his press conference. I didn't have Nick Pullett, but he had a weird line where he was like, oh, well, you know, it's late in the year and, you know, guys know where the bye week is and this and that. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, they're in it.
So they're checked out. They're looking ahead to the bye week. You didn't have a padded practice on Wednesday. And then the team followed suit. You went easy on them.
Right.
They took advantage of it. They're laughing off the loss after the game, which was an embarrassing loss, 34-15. It wasn't anywhere near that close. 24 points in the second quarter.
That was the worst game probably from start to finish they played.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. The last time they played the Dolphins was ugly because the Dolphins were also so bad.
It was an unwatchable product.
Yes.
But it wasn't a bigger blowout or a worse game than this.
No, this was a worse game because you had like a real team now on the other side, and then they just embarrassed you, and you scored a couple of touchdowns that were both fluky kind of touchdowns. Other than that, you got embarrassed.
So it's not just about the results on the field. We keep saying that. But this is the example of it.
Yeah, they don't all look the same.
No, and guys are checked out after the game, maybe even checked out going into the game. That's what's going to get Mayo fired. All the PR flare-ups, you know, sticking his foot in his mouth, him doing nothing during these games, the losses on the field, and then this. Like, if you're a fan, you're pissed after the game. Bedard's right about this. You're pissed after the game. And the players are in there laughing and yucking it up.
We're back at, and, you know, with the players, there's always turnover and, you know, certain guys that are free agents. Although, if it's like last year, they'll just re-sign all their own guys.
But right.
As far as running it back next year, I don't see, outside of like winning out, how can Robert Kraft bring back Mayo, Van Pelt, Covington, Wolf? And I think maybe you need to be more patient with the GM, like I was saying earlier. But I'm just saying, like, those four guys in those significant roles, and Robert Kraft's like, yeah, we're good. Like, how is any Patriot fan going to look at that and be like, yeah, you know what? These guys do need more time.
They get it.
They need more time. Or you're just wasting Drake May's rookie contract,
well,
which
that
is
should
where
be the
you
fear.
Need to capitalize.
That's the reason for urgency, because that should be the fear. 617-779-7937. What'd you think of the loss yesterday? What'd you think of the scene in the locker room afterwards? And what does it all mean for Jerod Mayo and his job security? It feels tenuous, to say the least. We do have Christian Gonzalez joining us this hour on a Patriots Monday, man-to-man-to-man coverage. 10 questions, 3 men. Christian Gonzalez every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. If you missed the Kristaps Porzingis news, we have breaking news earlier this hour. Billy will detail all of it here in Trending, and we're right back.